pornography is okay. Why don't you? Now that's some of the questions I've got. What? You mean you don't look at that stuff? That's an opportunity for me to teach them and show them why I don't do it. But it's not the norm. The norm is that everybody does. It must be okay. You must understand that porn is a fiery dart of the devil that must be quenched. Back in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, after Paul has gone through the whole armor of God, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What porn is? You guys ever seen some of these shows where the old, back centuries ago, when they were just mainly bows and arrows and all these different things, and so they start the war, and what comes at them? A bunch of arrows, right? Well, what do they do when they want to put the town on fire? All these arrows come, especially at night. All these arrows with fire come. That's exactly what. What Paul is telling us is, what is pornography? Alright, a couple of definitions here. Depiction of erotic behavior, as in pictures or writing, intended to cause sexual violence. That was from Merriam-Webster. Another definition I found, any sexual stimulating material or language that is used by a person to foster sexual stimulation. And so it's anything really that we read, that we see, that we view, anything that's going to stimulate some sexual reaction. That's the depiction of pornography, or the description of pornography. Several years ago, there was a Supreme Court trial about pornography. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Potter Stewart made this comment. I shall not attempt further to define the kinds of material I understand to be embraced within that shorthand description. They were trying to describe hardcore pornography. And perhaps I could never succeed in intelligibly doing so. But I know what it is when I see it. So if we're looking at something, we start having these feelings in our body that is leading to certain things that could be pornography. It doesn't have to be someone that doesn't have any clothes on. There's a well-known sports magazine that gets distributed annual or weekly or monthly, I don't know. And there's one edition that always gets the top awards for the number of issues sold. Swimsuit edition. Why do you think that is? You think that there's some sexual stimulation going on from the guys that are looking at this? You think based on the definition that we just defined, that could be defined as pornography? So. The illusion has been aided in time by the ease with which pornography can be obtained. You know, believe it or not, when I was your age, there was. Guys never even know, probably don't even know life. There was a time you had to look at certain things. You had to go into a seedy part of town. You really didn't want to go in. You had to go into certain establishments just to get the material that would be deemed pornography. And when I was your age, computers came along. Best thing invented. A lot of good information on the internet. A lot of bad things on the internet too. But what that did, Satan was ecstatic. Look what technology is doing for me. They don't have to go out anymore. They don't even have to go out to the seedy part of town. They can sit in their living room. And then they had to pay for it. Oh man. How much money is involved in that? And that became a huge problem. now. Carried around in our pocket. It's out there, guys. No. Some people go, oh, don't tell them. Don't tell them they can look at it on their phone. You need to know. You need to be careful. There's a lot of things that you can get on this device right here. That is not good. It's out there. The devil wants you to look at it. And this has resulted in a huge problem in our society. Let's just take a moment. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this. I just want to look at some statistics based on porn. These statistics were taken from 2006. Right? That's the latest I could find, 2006. So we could add some numbers. Porn revenue, $13 billion a year. Every second. It took about 3.5 seconds for those bullet points to come up. In that time, look how much money spent, how many users are viewing pornography, how many internet searches we had in that short of time. Every 39 minutes, a new porn video was made. Websites. They're out there, guys. 4.2 million websites, 12% of the total websites. 420 million web pages. 68 million daily pornographic search in requests. 25% of the search in requests are pornographic. Internet pornography in young people. Average age of first internet exposure to pornography, 11 years old. 15 to 17 year olds having multiple hardcore porn exposure, 80%. 8 to 16 year olds having viewed porn online, 90%. Most while doing homework. The kids, Andrew and Kyle, all of you guys, what's happening now? All the homework on the internet, right? There's an opportunity for safety. Go back to that. 8 to 16 year olds having huge porn on. Statistics show that of young adult men and 18% of women view porn at least once every week. It's not just a male problem. It's significantly more of a problem. 68% of young men view porn at least once every week. Hopefully, because we're a unique group of individuals, we have no one. But statistics tell me that someone in this audience has viewed porn. That's what we want. What are the results of viewing porn? Increase in divorce rate. More and more. 68% of the divorce cases have something to deal with one side or the other continually looking at porn. Loss of career. More and more companies are realizing that it's a problem. Some of the studies that I read talked about people spending hours and hours at work viewing porn. Hopefully the companies are putting some sort of filters on there just like we need to be doing at home. Loss of family. You spend so much time doing this, you lose out on what's really important in life and eventually you lose. More importantly, it's the loss of and to worship that. Satan's illusion, God's perfect gift, can be utilized to participate in all manner of sinful activity. So let's talk a little bit about God's perfect gift. Turn with me into James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Beginning of verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit You know, God has given us special gifts. I want to show you a picture here. This is a gift from God. Everybody see that? That is a bunch of green. And that's a gift from God, right? We can see it. We can understand that it's really pretty, isn't it? You know what this is? This is just an illusion. It's just an illusion. But when we see God's real gift, the perfect gift, wow. Smell it. Touch it. You can feel it. It's not the same thing, is it? It's not the same thing. It's an illusion. This is God's perfect gift. One of God's most precious gifts is the relationship between the created man and the created woman. I believe Brother Tracy had a lesson earlier today talking about some of the things dealing with it. Right? What I want to talk about is how God made us, helped us in this relationship. God gave us eyes. Right? God gave us eyes. Remember, we were made in God's image, and God looked at everything that He made, and everything that He made was good. We are good. We are God's perfect gift. And God made us eyes. God gave us eyes. We can see. We can see certain things. Right? In the marriage relationship, we can see that female form. We can see that, right? God made our mind to understand the visual beauty of His creation. So when I look at my wife and my mind does what it does because God created it, it could lead to desire. In God's perfect gift, in God's perfect relationship, God made us with physical desires and the ability to fulfill those desires within the boundaries of His law. He gave us the appetite to enjoy the fruit of all of His creation within the boundaries of His law. Solomon, in his words of wisdom, gives an example of how a man and a woman can enjoy God's perfect gift in the marriage relationship. Go home tonight and read Solomon chapter 4, Solomon chapter 7. Solomon looks upon his wife. And when you read that, it's kind of funny today because he uses some of the illustrations that they thought back then to be, wow. But he looks at the beauty of her eyes, her mouth, her cheeks, her neck, her breath, and is overcome by one glance. Get that funny feeling. These are God-given gifts to be enjoyed in the boundary of marriage that God has defined. Genesis chapter 2. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. They shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. See, God made us different. God made man and woman different, and He made us that we can enjoy each other in the compound of God. Every creature of God is good, sanctified by the Word of God. But the problem is that for every perfect gift that God has given us, Satan counteracts the counterfeit. See, Satan can't create anything. So he has to use his schemings, his wiles, do His work. And so God, He goes, hey, God made their eyes, God made their mind, God made their desires. I can use that. I can use that. He uses these God-created characteristics to seduce us and to get us to believe that the counterfeit He is selling is the real thing. So we take another look at another object. We use our eyes and we say, hey. And my mind starts clicking. And it's gone. I know what it's talking about. It creates this feeling in my body. And I have a desire to partake of this. Do you know what this is? Same form. Satan uses these same tools to help us believe the illusion that viewing form. Pornography utilizes our eyes, mind, and desire, but in a way that is not within the boundaries of God. God's designer gift becomes Satan's deceiving. We're tempted, we're drawn away by our own desires and ties to using God's gift in a way that he does not approve. Back to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We're going to begin with verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say that he is tempted. I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived. See, that's what Satan is out there doing. Satan is out there throwing his counterfeit gift, and he's pretending he wants us to think that porn presents itself as the real thing, and all it is. No, if we're spending more time on things that pull us away from God, it's an idol. Anything more important to you than God, anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God, anything you seek to give you what only God can give you, is an idol. Like all idols, porn promises us something we desire, but in reality it overpromises. When we embrace the counterfeit, we forfeit the real. Go over porn's broken promise. Porn promises validation of our manhood without requiring strength. Now, I read that porn could be classified as the steroids of the soul. It makes us think we're bigger, makes us think we're stronger, makes us think we're more desirable, but we forget there's a negative side. Really, true manhood requires promises sexual fulfillment without relationships. Right, guys, life is fulfilled in relationship. First, our relationship with God, our relationship with our family, our relationship with our wife, our relationship with our children. If we can't deal with relationship, the devil is going to think we have a relationship with the counterfeit that he's providing for us. Promises intimacy without regard to risk and suffering. Oh yeah, I want to know a woman. I want to talk to a woman. I want to see a woman, but man, I don't want to get hurt. So I'll just turn the computer. That way, I have to do it. Promises power over women without responsibility and humility. We're not even going to go into the aspect of the women that are depicted in some of these activities. Let me just tell you that the majority of them don't want to be there. Yet it makes us as men feel empowered over these men. Promises comforting care without depending on us. We have to depend on God. We captive and the hunter. And yet, Satan wants us to believe that this is going to be a computer. It's going to make us feel comfortable. These are promises that Satan wants you to believe to ensure you keep having that desire to keep going back for more and more. Satan uses our thirst for God-given human needs, such as affection, affirmation, acceptance, satisfaction, and security, to deceive our wants and desires. See, these are characteristics that God has designed into us. We want to have affection. We want to have people happy with us. We want to be accepted, satisfied, have security. And yet, Satan going, yeah, you can do all of this, just me. What is it? Oh, yeah, that's right. Don't believe God. Desire and thirst are essential to a God-fearing man's walk with God. We thirst and look to be satisfied, but looking at porn is like trying to drink from a broken cistern that can hold no water. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. Jeremiah says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of the living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." We have this desire, we have this thirst, and what are we out there doing? We're digging our own well. And guess what? It's not going to hold water. Because we are not going to the source of the true living water, Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." We have this inert desire. We have this inert thirst. We have to fulfill it the way that God wants it. The way Satan promised us to fulfill it with false lies. We have to fulfill it the way that God wants it. Overcoming Satan wiles, his scheming. What do we need to do? Well, first of all, we need to recognize that viewing pornography is a sin. Turn over with me to Matthew chapter 5. Pardon, Sermon on the Mount. Let's begin at verse 27. "You have heard," this is Jesus speaking, "you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." See, we've using these God-given gifts that God has designed in us, our eyes, our mind, and has created this desire, this lust. And Jesus says, "You know what, guys? You've already committed sin. Porn is a means of fulfilling the lust of the flesh and gratifying our own selfish desire. I don't care what God wants. I know what I want. I have this desire to look at something with my eye, and it's going to fulfill some things that I need fulfilled in my flesh. And oh yeah, I'm not going to become addicted. That won't happen to me." You see how Satan allows our minds to think that we can participate in these things without any detrimental action. He tells us, "Go ahead and do it, Gary. It won't hurt you. It's going to make you feel good inside. It's going to look good to your eyes. And yeah, it is not going to have any sort of issues in your life at all." I fall for the trap. The next thing I know, I'm spending 5 or 6 hours daily looking at porn. Some of the articles that I've read. Daily. It's not affecting my life. But that's what Satan wants us to do. We need to recognize that it's a sin. It's a sin because we want to do it. Lust is the craving for salt of a man who is dying of thirst. You ever, you know, you've heard some stories about people who get lost in the sea and all that. Everybody knows, don't drink seawater. But you get to a certain point, and that water, it just looks so good. I've got to have it. The desire is burning inside of me. Guess what? When you drink that water, it literally burning. Right? That's what lust is. We know that it's bad for us. We just can't stop doing it. Paul tells Timothy to flee youthful lust in 2 Timothy 2:22. Well, you know what? This porn issue we have in our society, it's not just the youthful thing. You know, some of the research that I've done, you've got old men, you know, all walks of life, people in the church, people, spiritual people who get caught in this snare that Satan has set forth. But Paul goes on after, we shouldn't let sin reign in our mortal body. Romans 6, chapter 12, verse 14. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not have dominion over you. We have to recognize that viewing porn is sin. That's it. Everybody understand that? And we have to determine that we are not going to allow sin to have dominion in our lives. We must recognize that sin lies at the door. Back in Genesis chapter 4, after Cain had killed Abel, and he realized that God was disappointed, and his countenance fell. And so God comes to Cain and he goes, "Why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen?" Verse 7. "If you do well, you will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." Guys, we have to understand that sin lies at our door, it lies at our computer, it lies at our phone, and its desire is to get our minds trapped. We have to set our minds. We are the only ones. We have to set our minds. We have to repent of the sin of viewing porn. Recognizing that viewing porn is a sin and having a new desire to do the will of the Father, one must turn away from viewing porn and turn to God. The psalmist says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way." Remember what we're talking about here? Turn my eyes from looking at porn and revive me in your way. After telling the Corinthians that God would not allow anyone to be tempted beyond what one is able. And we have to realize, going back, we have to realize that we can turn our eyes away. We can't get to the fact that Satan wants us to believe, "I just can't do this. You know, it's just too overpowering for me. I just can't stop." You know, and Paul tells Timothy after, he's telling them that no one, you know, God's not going to tempt you beyond what you can handle, and he's going to provide a way of escape. And then he tells them to flee idolatry. Remember what we talked about four and one? It's taking what time away from God. If it's something that we, anything you seek to give you what only God can give you, it's an idol. Paul says, flee idolatry. We can't. If porn has become an idol, we must turn and flee. We need to reorient our life towards the sun. Now, I'm involved in scouts. Every now and then we go hiking. You know, this is a good little thing to have. To go hiking. It's a comfort. We got lost on our last trip, right? We had to try and orient our way out of the woods by finding where we were and using this compass to orient our path. What is our compass? Our compass is God's Word, right? Our compass is God's Word. Well, it's not something we can wear. Not something that we can physically wear around our neck, right? We have to know enough about this, we have to study it, and we have to ponder about it so that it can help us orient our life. Especially when we find ourselves in a situation where, yes, the devil has overcome we've allowed the devil to overcome our temptations and been entrapped in this snare that he's set for us to recognize its sin. Sorry, God. Truly sorry. I want to stop this. We have to set our minds on things above, not on things of this world. Thorn is of the world. Thorn is of the flesh. We need to set our minds on things that are above us, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 talks about us being a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world. How do we conform to this world? Well, we're doing things what the world does. What does the world do? It watches porn. Paul says, don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Become a warrior in the fight against the devil. Ephesians chapter 6, we're not going to read that, but it tells us about putting on the whole armor of God. We need to understand that the quality of a true warrior is that he is in service to a purpose greater than himself that is surpassing all other things in our life. We must become a true warrior. We must be cunning. We must know our enemy. We must know how Satan wants to attack us, so that we can have our shield of faith ready for those fiery darts that he's going to shoot at us. And we know that he's going to come at us in any fashion that he can when our weaknesses are low. We need to be ready. We need to know our enemy. We need to endure hardship. We need to understand that it's not going to be easy. All right? Serving God is not easy. It's a privilege. It's an honor. But it's not easy. Because of what he did for us, it makes it easy. Because there is nothing we're going to go through than what Jesus our Savior did. We must resist and stand firm. Peter, again, in verse chapter 5, right after he talks about the devil walking around as a roaring lion, he says, resist him! Stand firm! You have to be able to resist and stand firm. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, as Moses now is dead and Joshua really gets the baton, God comes down and he repeats it 3 or 4 times. In verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We need to remember that we can be courageous, that we can stand up against the devil because God is with us. We need to fight the good fight of faith. We've got to put up a fight, guys. Because if we don't put up a fight, the devil's already won. And he's out there fighting for our souls. We need to put up the good fight. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. We need to prove ourselves a man. David is dying. He calls Solomon in. I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. What's the world going to tell you? Prove yourself a man. Man, go out there and look at some porn. Oh, that'll make you a man. You know that false promise that Satan's putting out? What does he say? Keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies that is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. Guys, we need to allow the light in. You know what? Whatever you can do to allow to stop Satan from getting into your mind, do it. You know, it may be putting something above your computer. Remind us that, you know, we're to look at good things. It may be putting a candle next to the computer. You don't even have to light it. Maybe just that candle will help us remember that Jesus is the light. The world hates the light because they practice evil and don't want their deeds to be exposed. They love darkness rather than light. Jesus is the light of the world and brings life where there is only death in the world. To overcome the sin of pornography, and there may be some here who are challenged with it. I want to tell you something. I want to offer whatever I can do to help. If you have this problem, call me in conference. We can sit and we can work this out. No one else can make it up. Or get a friend that you have confidence in. Say, you know what? When I'm in situations where I feel I'm tempted to go into a room and turn my computer on and look at you, hey man, can I give you a call? Do whatever it takes. Because you can't do it alone. First of all, you need to pray about it. There's certain things that happen in our life. We just, you know, we get down, we get hurt, and we can't go in there. It's gonna make everything. That's when you need to get down on your knees and you need to pray. You need to call me. You need to call another friend and say, hey, can we talk through this? The devil's firing. Fiery darts at me right now. I need some help. We gotta do whatever it takes. We need to remember Jesus is the light of the world. We need to say, I will not be defined by darkness. I will be defined by the light of Christ, which is in me. I will not be defined by darkness. I will be defined by life. Each day of our life we have before us a choice. Death, allowing the wiles of the devil to overcome us. And life, allowing the light of Christ to abounding love to guide our life. I'm asking you, I'm begging you, I'm praying you, all of the elders here, Steve is begging you, choose life. Choose life that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, that you may cling to Him. He is your life.